So Samuel comes from that pedigree as his background. And so he breathes think and sleep mission in that respect. Samuel has a PhD, and he thinks a lot about mission, and he's also a church planter. He's done some work in Spain in the 90s, planted a Spanish church, and of course he's also done similar in London. Samuel has written a book, which is over there. It's based on his PhD thesis, Reciprocal Mission. It's a big book, something to think about. But it's a privilege to have Samuel come and talk to us about diaspora missiology. That's the area he's going to be talking about. He's written an excellent paper, and he will be speaking from that context. So join me in welcoming Dr. Samuel Cueva as he comes and shares with us.
Thank you so much for your kind, very kind of you to invite me. Today, I promise you, you will change your mind. I just discovered last night that the United Nations has invented the celebration of the international migrants, 18th of December. So, celebrate Christmas, but before the migrant day. What do you think? Is that okay? Good food, good dancing, and I don't know if you can have a glass of wine. Just ask first. The second thing that I discovered during this week is that Israel wants to publish another book, and he is always seeking someone to get the papers. So he proposed me this morning, coming. Come with me. He always has in mind something. So we'll see if we can give some paper for his wonderful books he has so far published. Just this paper, you can have a copy of that. It is related to the International Migration Report of 2017 that in summary says that there are nearly 60 million migrant people around the world. So you are one of them. Or many of you are one of them. I would like to start with this. If you reside outside your place of origin, you're a migrant. And if your residence there is temporary, you belong to the diaspora. However, the concept of diaspora and migration come together with a diaspora missiology. So now I will jump many points because of the time, but basically the word diaspora comes from the Greek word that it means dispersion. It's like that. And migration involves individual or mass movement from one country to another, especially for residency that can be either permanent or temporary. Get in mind that, so you will understand in your thinking the relation between the two concepts, migration and diaspora. So now people are started to use more the idea of diaspora. It's a kind of fashion thinking in my view. I don't know how long it would last that, because in history of mission, we see that ideas change, people die, and new ideas come. So just a bit of history, an overview of the historical view of diaspora missiology. My mentor, Samuel Escobar, started that idea within the evangelical movement in 2000 when he went to visit Germany. He realized that a Spaniard invited him to his home, and from that he started to think that someone that he's serving the Lord but not working with some mission organization was bringing him to share the gospel. What do I mean by that? That diaspora missiology deals with the institutional way of doing mission, but above that, God is doing something different and using the whole Christian people around the world without getting a proper salary, but they are worshiping God and sharing the gospel for free. That's what I reflected in 2009, and I produced a paper in relation to that idea of non-conventional missionaries, which now it calls diaspora movement or people on the move. That's the marketing side of this concept. In 2002, the American Society of Missiology started to develop this idea with a more academic thinking. So they met in America, they got thinkers, and they proposed something about that. In 2004, Lausanne movement started to develop that idea. They got the idea, because there are two kinds of people. Those who think, could be you, or those who act. What are you? You think or you act? You put in practice what others think. Well, I am a thinker. So now I want to sell you some ideas, and you will change, I promise you. And then in 2010, Lausanne got a big congress in Cape Town. Someone from South Africa here? Close, no? Anyway. But they got the first forum for diaspora mission. And then they started to spread out the concept and the theology and the missiology of diaspora mission. But the point is that, what is that for? Somehow, for some, are to create new mission strategies. So we are trying to invite people that they are doing something, and we are trying to invite people that they are thinking something about that. Within missiological reflection on the diaspora phenomenon, we find in the first place a huge desire to produce a new mission strategy to preach the gospel. That is my interpretation. In the lands of new temporary residents of people on the move. But given that diaspora missiology deals with a way of life, not just a strategy, and it is not related to a mission strategy alone, the discipline does not yield any insights into the traditional sending of missionaries through mission societies. This is what I call in that book I produced, someone published, I call some from time to time the spontaneous mission theology. Nobody tells you to go to the street to preach the gospel, just you go. But for some, you need someone to get a plan and a strategy, which is good somehow. But in this case, God is doing something different, mobilizing people around the world as we never seen before. So I will jump. I think we have to define the concept now, but perhaps we should remind that historically the word diaspora was used to refer to the deportation of the northern kingdom of Israel. Within theological thinking, we see that using by the scripture in the Old Testament. But also the African has developed in practice a lot of diaspora, not thinking, but practicing. They move everywhere. In the case of Peru, a lot of African people came to the north of Peru. And in other cases, the government brought them officially. That is the case of the Windrush community. It was the government after the Second World War that they brought them to involve them within the society in different tasks. And also, now I think we could reflect, for instance, on the Brexit phenomenon. Don't tell me, but I ask you, you vote against or in favor? We can have a coffee or a good meal if you want. And I will tell what I think. So I will jump the overview of diaspora theology because I think that there is no missiological thinking without theological reflection on diaspora. So we have to think both at the same time. So avoid the mistake of doing diaspora missiology without doing diaspora theology. I don't have time for that. But please define diaspora missiology. You can read with me, please. Diaspora missiology is? Put in practice that. That's it. At least one word or two, and you will see the difference. But God is doing something different in the way that He is mobilizing more people for accomplishing the mission activity. That's the point, in my view. Culture, sociology, politics are behind of this situation, but above of that is, in my view, God is doing something different for His redemptive mission purpose. That's the big point. And we have to understand everything from that perspective. So that's the definition. And in the light of that definition of diaspora missiology, I would like to ask if you could put the first video, please, and you will see something that perhaps will tell you something. Have a look.
The world is on the move. On the move to bigger and better things. Sometimes in search of safety or to open a new chapter of our lives. We cross borders, traveling over land, mountains, and the sea. We leave behind family, our friends, our homes. We create a brighter future for ourselves and for our children. We, the people, have always moved. In every corner of the earth, there are migrants seeking a hopeful and promising future and a safe place to call home. In today's global world, the number of international migrants is higher than ever before. Unfortunately, violent conflicts, natural disasters, and humanitarian crises have compelled a large number of people to flee their homes, often risking their lives in search of freedom and safety. We have the possibility to coordinate our efforts and to manage better the reality of human mobility. No country can deal with this situation on its own. Through international cooperation, we can promote sustainable development, provide humanitarian assistance where needed, and secure a peaceful future for all. Monitor who is on the move and what drives them. Guide those who decide to leave to a safe and prosperous future. Counter xenophobia, recognizing that migrants have made extraordinary contributions to economic and social development throughout the world. Migration should always be a matter of choice, not necessity. The General Assembly will host the United Nations Summit for Refugees and Migrants on the 19th of September to promote international cooperation and encourage commitments by member states. The UN's Department of Economic and Social Affairs is working with member states and other stakeholders to ensure that countries have the information and support they need to manage migratory movements and to protect and assist migrants. Migrants and refugees deserve safety and dignity, both during their journey and in their new.
That's it, because of the time. In the light of my definition of diaspora missiology, I recommend the following practical investigation. First, to seek a better understanding of the complex phenomenon of national security and immigration law and how it affects the mission activity of Christianity. Second, to ask why economics and politics have become crucial for Christian diaspora. And third, to ask why Christology is the pivotal center of Christian identity. In the case of the European diaspora, Andrew Walls, in his historical analysis on mission and migration, indicates that the new migration has gone into reverse from the non-Western to the Western world. Not this alongside the tension related to the issues of migration in European politics. This is why you should understand, the church should understand, that this is not just for Christianity. The UNation is a secular institution. But they are thinking, and not also thinking, they are proposing very specific points to do something for that. One of them is developing. So what I see is that there is an anti-immigration parties now in several European countries. They are fighting against that. So what is next for us? For a coherent diaspora missiology, a theology of, this is my proposal, reciprocal collaboration, will play a pivotal role of reinforcing the theological foundation for working together. So that's important in my view. And here I'd like to provide some distinctions and similarities that are useful between migration and diaspora. Migration is the individual of massive move of people from one place or permanent or temporary residence to a different one, and diaspora is more a temporary residence. Sociologically, diaspora becomes the structure of a migratory move, such as the Latin American diaspora in America or Europe, the African diaspora, or the Asian diaspora. It also can be the Polish diaspora in the UK, for example. Apart from the internal factors, involuntary migration from one place to another, because there are two types of migration, voluntary and involuntary, there are external factors in migration and diaspora mobility. This includes political and economic circumstances, war, religion, and so on. So as a result, we have political refugees like Germany. They receive nearly a million of Syrian people, for example. Refugees who are forced to leave because of the war in their country, I mentioned. Individuals seeking to be reunited with relatives, family reunification. Religious migrants because of their faith and belief. Geographically, migration is multidirectional from everywhere to everywhere, while diaspora is more unidirectional from one location to another. Theologically, God directs global migration and diaspora for his divine purpose. This shows as a transcendent God, sovereign and loving God. And missiologically, migration and diaspora become one of the next step, God's intention to fulfill his redemptive mission plan. Similarities are found in the way that evangelization is the central goal of both. This shows the immanent God acting in Christ. So what I am trying to say is I am thinking theologically. Also, both are global phenomena. Migration and diaspora involve a symbiotic reciprocal task, which is interactive, interdependent, and complementary. So this is why I invite you to avoid the idea of emphasizing cultural thinking, which is important, but theologically we have to overcome that somehow, and that must be intentional in my view. One more. In addition to cultural forms of dress and food preparation, migration and diaspora are both carriers of religious beliefs. Everybody that goes to somewhere goes with his political, theological, religious background. So I want to provide five tendencies. How many minutes do I have? It's gone. Five. I just started. Five. Massive migration from rural areas to urban areas is going to increase. As with the world's population, so too there is growth of the diaspora. And third, India's population will exceed that of China in 2050, thus becoming the largest country in the world with over 1.5 billion people. High growth rates will take place in less developed countries because they have more children under the age of 15. Diaspora mission is now influenced by urban and mega cities. I finish with this. The development of a theology of the Imago Dei is important to recover. Second, hospitality or welcoming others should be permeate the ecclesiology within the church. Third, practical action between Christians in sharing resources in reciprocal collaboration with one another to accomplish God's intention for the benefit of his kingdom. Four, the recognition of the spontaneous nature of the missionary movement within the reality of global diaspora. I finish with one more video, if that possible. Thank you. Hello. Thank you. I want to mention the case of Venezuela. Have you heard about Venezuela? It was one of the most, perhaps the most richest country of Latin America. Now, 350,000 Venezuelans moved to Lima, Peru, just to Lima. So now I'm going on Tuesday to Peru to speak about diaspora missiology and to discuss with key leaders, one of the Christian universities in Peru, to discuss what is next for the Christian church in Peru to do something with nearly half a million of Venezuelans in Lima. It's creating chaos, schools, works. Let me give you this example. You get £8 an hour for doing something, okay. But the Venezuelans will say, I do the job for four. So there are sociological implications now with the Peruvian society. It's like the German case, we discussed that. They received nearly a million, and we say, yeah, hallelujah. But they got big troubles now. Let me tell you this. One asylum seeker got 2,400 euros a month. A PhD graduated got 2,300. What do you think the Germans will say? So it is not just saying this is diaspora missiology, this is that. It comes with many complex aspects that we have to learn how to read and to think and to propose something more powerful. Please go ahead. Thank you.